Hello, everyone, and welcome to another preview show here on the Cycling Dane Extra channel. And as always, I'm joined by Mr. Gregor, myself, Ewan Wilson. And today we're looking at Amstel Gold, the first of the hilly classics. It's not a monument, but Ewan, it's a spectacular race. And yeah, what's your memories of this race?
Well, I've always enjoyed Amstel Gold, mainly with a sense of nostalgia for the old course, back when it would finish on top of the Cauberg. That was sort of an iconic climb of the Ardennes Classics at this part of the year. You have the Mur de Huy, you had the Côte d'Anse, and you had the Cauberg. We've lost two of those nowadays, but just sort of remembering Philippe Gilbert dancing up the climb in 2014 after his Anis Horribilis the year beforehand, and even Michał Kwiatkowski getting one of his very few victories in the rainbow jersey really sticks in my mind.
Yes, so many great additions. Obviously, the 2019 one with Mathieu van der Poel was sensational.
But yeah, I forgot about that one for some reason. But that was quite the addition, of course. Sort of the beginning of the big Van der Poel ascent to stardom, and as well, you could point out this is where the Intermarché story began in 2016, and Enrico Gasparotto won after attacking away on the Cauberg with Mikael Valgren, and that was their first ever sort of high level victory, and now they're on the World Tour contending for this.
Yeah, but last year, as we know, it was Kwiatkowski who won yet another edition in a very close sprint, as we've seen now in two editions. But with that out of the way, Ewan, what awaits the riders for the 2023 edition of Amstel Gold Race?
Well, the Amstel Gold Race, the only World Tour level race with a beer in its title. It is 253 kilometers long, snaking all around Dutch Limburg. We begin the day in Maastricht, home of two big things. First of all, the Treaty of Maastricht, which founded the modern day European Union. And secondly, Tom Dumoulin, who we covered in depth with our profile last autumn. Nevertheless, the race will roll out of Maastricht and head into the hills. The course looks like a big old piece of spaghetti. It's quite difficult to sort of unpick. There's an awful lot of altitude, so I'll give you the cliff notes. And there are three climbs you need to be looking out for here. The Cauberg, which will come on two occasions. The final occasion will be at 30 kilometers to go. This is where we used to finish the race back in the day, where we saw Philippe Gilbert dominate this race. We also saw other great additions. Even Gilbert won the World Championships here in 2012. After the Cauberg, we then go onto the Col Hemmerberg, which is a slightly shallower climb, but it's long. Then after that, the final big climb of the day is the Bemmelberg, which will come with 15 kilometers to go and take us all the way to the line in Berg en ter Bleet. This is a very similar finish to the one that we had last year in 2021. So expect it to be sort of a flat affair in the end and maybe a reduced bunch sprint between a couple of riders. We haven't had a solo winner in this race since 2014 when the aforementioned Philippe Gilbert. So expect a small group to be rolling across the line, fighting out for the win once again.
Thank you for that, Ewan, as always. But yeah, we might as well start with last year's winner in your screen days. They've not looked the same this year in the classics. And yeah, Ewan, we're looking towards Tom Pidcock, almost won back in 2021, and of course Michał Kwiatkowski, last year's winner. And yeah, what do you think of Ineos Grenadiers' chances of saving their classic season here?
Yeah, it definitely is very different to last year. Last year, we were coming in thinking, wow, this is a brilliant sort of rejuvenated Ineos squad. The young riders were shining through. And this season, it hasn't quite been the same narrative. We are recording this before the Brabantse Pijl, La Flèche Brabançonne, which they won in 2021 and 2022. They might win it this year. And it's also usually been quite a good gauge of form before this race. Van der Poel won the Brabantse Pijl back in 2019 before winning. Pidcock and Wout came first and second in Brabantse Pijl before doing the same in Amstel Gold a couple days later. And last year, Sheffield won and his teammate won a couple days later in 2022. But overall, this team is not looking as good. Magnus Sheffield, who I would say could be a good contender for this, has been on the ground so much, it's been difficult to sort of see faith in him. Similarly, Michał Kwiatkowski has not been looking the same. He has DNF'd an awful lot of races this year. He didn't finish in Gent-Wevelgem, didn't finish Eindhoven-Harderbeke. He finished 139th in Milano-San Remo, did not finish at Kuurne-Brussel-Kuurne, finished over 100th place at Omloop. He's not looking so good this season. Tom Pidcock has been hit or miss, sometimes good, sometimes not so good. It's also hard to sort of gauge where his legs are at. Omar Fraile, though, I'm going to say is probably my most reliable bet for them. He looked really good in the Basque Country, but he's a Basque rider who's always done well there. So Ineos, I mean, it's like throwing a dart with a blindfold. Who knows which ride of the dance going to land on? They might be the leader on the day.
Yeah, it's, well, Garnet's been doing pretty well in the classics, but obviously he's not here. But...
also, so much altitude gain in terms of Amstel Gold. It's similar to like a Grand Tour medium mountain or even mountain stage. There's no way I can imagine a Garnet being up there in the end. I'd be surprised if we even saw like Josh Tarling competing at the end.
But anyways, Ewan, we could go plenty of other places. And where do you want to go? Sudal or Jumbo Visma?
I guess Sudal. Alaphilippe has never won this race.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost
did.
Wait, 2019?
No, Mathieu Van Der Poel.
That's when Van Der Poel. Why is that race erased from my mind? It's usually up there as like the best races in the modern era. And it's just been wiped out of my memory. But yeah, Alaphilippe looking good. Schmidt's looking pretty good. Bajoli as well. I really like his chances. He's been looking quite good over the past couple weeks with his own chances and successes. But he did also pull out of the Basque Country last week, which does make me a little bit skeptical. But all in all, this team has been missing the mark an awful lot. I would expect them to be finishing anywhere between 5th and 15th. I don't think the podium is within their grasp.
Yeah, it's a bit like Ineos Grenadiers. They're going to try and save the Basics campaign. Well, these guys have really messed up in terms of results. But, well, I mean, where I probably should have started. Okay, go on. Where are you going to say before I move on to...
I was going to say, this is not the place where they should be saving their campaign. Alaphilippe's going to win Flèche Wallonne. And that will be their sort of redeeming factor for this year's Spring Classics campaign. And then they'll go into the Giro, win that with Remco, and we'll forget all about this debate.
I mean, I love Flèche Wallonne, but it's not exactly steeped in prestige. It's a glorified hill climb. Well, they took it away, so I digress. Sorry, Flèche Wallonne, I didn't mean that. I love you a lot. UAE Team Emirates is probably where we should have started. Tadej Pogačar is doing this race for the first time in his career. How do you see his chances? He's been doing Flèche Wallonne a few times, but Amstel Gold, debutant again.
Yeah, he's never clicked with it with Flèche Wallonne, for reasons I'm not quite sure. Maybe it's just how steep it is at the end. It does sort of warrant uber specialists, but... This is Pogačar. This route suits him. He's a nail on for the top five. He's in it to win it. Wouldn't be surprised if he wins it outright. Remember, he debuted the Ronde van Vlaanderen, one of the hardest races in the world, and finished in fourth place and probably should have been on the podium that day. Discovering this race won't be a big thing for him. He's got that sort of like sixth sense of how to race his bike. He's got a decent team with him as well. Mark Hirschi, Diego Ulissi, and Shortbacks, who's looking really good in my books. I think, yeah, it'll be good. I'm not worried about Pogačar. If anything, it's quite similar to Monreal, if you want to compare profiles. And he won in Monreal, ahead of Wout van Aert in a sprint, may I add.
Wout van Aert's not even in this race, but you're wanting to bash him. Why Mark Hirschi? Why the shade on him?
Do you remember 2020? Do you remember how good he was? Do you remember any notable result since then?
Flèche Wallonne. But he's kind of been more of a...
Yeah. Yeah, he's been...
role.
He's been a good domestique, to be fair. I really rate Mark Hirschi in this position as a domestique. I think he's been really valued by the team. Also, Felix Grosjean, he was fantastic at Paris-Nice.
That's very true. But anyways, Ewan, one team that we always talk about in these previews, it seems, but they're not really the heavy favorites this year. They've got, well, Jumbo-Visma, that's the team. Dutch race, Dutch team. And it seems like they're going to be headed up by Thijs Benoot, who finished third last year. And I mean, what do you make of Jumbo-Visma's chances? Plenty of good riders in there, but not really the top echelon.
Exactly that. Jumbo-Visma missing that sort of headline act. There's no Roglic, there's no Vingegaard, no Wout, no Laporte. But Benoot has usually been quite good at filling in the ranks when there hasn't been that big headline act. He did it early this year at Kuna Brussel Kona to quite some success. Similarly, Estrada Bianca finishing in third place. I would suspect he'll be up there in contention as well with his sort of new buddy, Attila Valter, who's been looking very good recently after his strong week in the Basque Country. I reckon the Hungarian champion and Belgian Thijs Benoot will have mended over their communication problems from Estrada Bianca and could be quite a formidable duo going into this race. I'm also intrigued to see what Milan Vada can bring as well. Mountain biker from the Netherlands, a bit like Van der Poel. You never know.
I think you're the one who's spoken most about Milan Vada.
I expect so much and I get so little in return.
But anyway, Ewan, we can't not mention French riders when you're here. Both Valentin Madouas and Benoît Cosnefroid are going to this. Cosnefroid was second last year and, I mean, riding for different teams. But what do you make of their chances this year?
Yeah, let's begin with Cosnefroid, the Norman. He's been looking good this year so far, already with a strong result at the Ronde van Vlaanderen the other week. He was right up there in that group of sort of escapees, the chances who went ahead to try to get a 3-minute advantage over Tadej Pogacar. He was looking pretty decent in that race. 22nd at San Remo as well. It's quite good for Cosnefroid. That race doesn't quite suit him that well. Although this isn't quite the ferocious sort of build-up that we're used to seeing from some of the favorites for this race. I feel like Bernard Cosnefroid is the kind of rider who can just pull out a result out of nowhere. We saw that last year when he finished in second place to Kwiatkowski. Even last year when he won in Quebec, we weren't expecting it, and suddenly he's there in contention. I feel like we might see the same thing this year from Cosnefroid. If he believes, I think he could do quite well. And then moving on to Groupama, a really strong setup from them as well. I think this is actually one of the best teams we're going to see on Sunday at Amstel Gold. We got Stefan Kung, who finished in top 10. David Gaudu as well, looking on really good form. He's a good sort of hilly guy as well. He can sprint pretty well. He was right up there in Montreal that I mentioned before. Also in Tour de France stages and Dauphiné stages with hilly sprints at the end. Also, don't underestimate the importance that Kevin Genietz could be playing during this. He's been looking super, super hardy this year, really improving on his climbing skills, the Luxembourger. So I'm expecting Groupama to really rip up this race. They might be the sort of unexpected package, especially when eyes are going to be on Jumbo, Ineos, and the other teams have probably more prestige to their name. I feel like Groupama have a really strong roster from start to finish. Even Romain Grégoire and Rudy Mollard have been looking really good this year so far. So Groupama, definitely a really solid bet for top five.
Before we just discuss the outsiders, I think we should just also have a bit of a chat about EF Education Easy Post, who are coming here with the Ecuadorian national champion, Richard Carapaz, probably as their headline. And Ewan, it's quite an exciting team. There's plenty of names in there you want to flag up. So go ahead.
Well, I would say the headline act here is Nilsson Paulus. No one is...
There we go.
A classic season quite like Paulus this year, apart from Pogacar, Van Aert, and Mathieu van der Poel. He won the Ouverture, he won in Bessèges, 6th at Paris-Nice, 7th at Milan-San Remo, 3rd at Duanse de Vlaanderen, and 5th at Ronde van Vlaanderen. It's fantastic. He should finish in top 10. When you compare sort of the profile of an Amstel Gold to the Ronde van Vlaanderen, you would say like Amstel Gold would suit Paulus better. The hills and lack of cobblestones would probably suit the American more than the sort of hardy northern Belgian terrain. So I'm quite favorable towards Paulus being right up there in the end and sprinting for this. Remember, he has a good sprint on him. He won in San Sebastian a couple of years back in a reduced sprint against Honoré and some other favorites. So Paulus is definitely a good contender. And with the aforementioned now as a teammate, Miguel Honoré, as well as a very informed James Shaw and Carapaz, who's missing that sort of top form that we're used to seeing from him. We haven't seen Carapaz at top form this year yet. He'll probably be working in support of Paulus. Expect big things from the American.
So, I mean, anyway, Ewan, before going into our predictions, outsiders, I'm looking towards Bora, potentially Mike Schachmann, who's, well, he's not really been there anywhere this year, but they also have Sergio Aguita, who's coming off a good win at the Tour of Basque Country. But equally, there's also Alexander Kamp of Tudor Pro Cycling, who's finished in top five here before. He likes these kind of profiles and recently just took a stage race victory as well. So is there anyone else you're looking towards? I mean, I could continue the Danish theme with Skelmos Jensen, but...
Yeah, I mean, Rui Koch has been looking good this year. He's running for Intermarché, leading them with also Bahrain victorious. They have Matej Mohoric, a poor performance at Roubaix, but this is more Matej's kind of terrain. I'm running out of ideas. Adam Budu, Iban Garcia Cortina, but I think I'm clutching at straws here.
The two Johannesson brothers from Uno X, maybe.
I feel like this is a challenge to mention the most niche Scandinavian here. Not very niche, but could have a good chance, is Andreas Kolm.
Yeah, that's very true. He's a very good rider. This kind of profile suits him a bit more. Now we're coming to our favorite part of the show, and I mean, we might as well do our reaction to the Paris-Roubaix, each of us getting something right on the podium. I managed to get Mathieu van der Poel right as the winner. I mean, that's not crazy, right? But you managed to get Wout van Aert right as well.
Yep, I said Wout would miss the mark, and he did miss the mark, but I got my winners incorrect. In terms of my first and second, I went for Matej Mohoric victory with Kung in second place. Matej had a lot of bad luck in the first half of the day. And also, I mean, I don't think he recovered fully from the crash in the Ronde the week before. Since we recorded that video, he did post a video where he was like, I don't feel as good as I thought I did, which, yeah, is a bit of a downer. And Kung was up there, but just not strong enough for the podium.
Yeah, I mean, Christoph, he finished in 15th, so... just in the wrong group, he didn't make that selection. But Yeah, interesting addition. Nevertheless, I'm still gold, Ewan. Who's your pick for the top three?
Okay, in third place, I've got a Groupama rider. I'm being open-ended here. Either David Gaudu or Valentin Madouas. Second place goes to Nielsen Paulus, and the winner is Tadej Pogacar.
Who saw that coming?
I mean, it's a safe bet. Yeah.
Where did we hear that one before? Ronda?
To be fair, two of those guys did finish on the podium, just in the wrong place.
Right. Obviously, mine's going to be a bit biased, as always. In third place, Gianni Moscon. No, I'm kidding. I mean, that would be a bit crazy.
Clément Champoussin.
No. Third place, let's go for Tom Pickock. Second place, Tadej Pogacar. And the winner will be Toro Pro Cycling's new star, Alexander Kamp, in a sprint against Tadej Pogacar, if that happens.
That'd be one for the mantelpiece in the Alexander Kamp household.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, make sure to play along at home. Comment down below who your podium is as well. Quite a few of you got it right with Mathieu van der Poel in the Paris-Roubaix preview. So yeah, with that, make sure to subscribe to the channel, like the video, check out the podcast as well. And of course, as always, thank you for watching and have a nice day. Thank you.